Over the past few weeks, I have received a lot of different kind of email concerning questions and concerns over the meaning of this day. A lot of people have had a lot of anxious thought. Some have thought that I was saying that the world was coming to an end this day, so they're kind of looking to it and saying, see, if nothing happens February 2nd, see, you're just a liar. And they don't understand. They don't even listen. They haven't read anything, so they don't know what they're talking about. Or that the Great Tribulation will begin on this day. Some have thought this is when the tribulation was going to begin, that some great event would happen today, something out here in the world. Something may happen out there, but it has nothing to do with what we're talking about here today. Some have just expressed great concern for fear of some horrible events that might begin to take place at this time, on this day, and wanted to know what they could do or where they could go to avoid what might be happening. The church, those who are baptized and have been for some time, don't have that kind of fear. Don't have any of those kinds of things going through their mind. Most of you have known exactly where we're going because you picked up on it in different things that have been said. However, people who are relatively new have had many concerns and fears about the meaning of today. And then there are those who are only wanting to find fault and look for whatever they can to try to discredit what's being said. So again, those of you who are more mature in spirit, again, already know the significance of the timing of the day because you heard, again, spiritually in the hearing of your ears, because God is the one that gives it to us. And you recognize that today is 1,335 days from the return of Jesus Christ. Not a small thing. You know, I don't know how to express some of these things fully, because today we've chosen as a group of people to humble ourselves before God. That's what fasting is all about. It's about humbling ourselves before God, a desire to be more at one with God. And what could be a more important day than today to do exactly that? Because this day has incredible meaning in it. It truly does. The title of this sermon today says so very much. There are words that as of today are resounding in heaven itself. This is a glorious day, brethren. It's a most awesome day in God's plan. And this is given by revelation only and by no other means. Let me say it another way. This is given by prophetic revelation and by no other means. You know, God desires to share this excitement with His church. That's why you feel what you feel here today. That's why there is that sense almost like the Feast of Tabernacles, because there is that same portion and power and more of His Holy Spirit that's being poured out upon us today for a one-day period of time. And so again, God's desire to share this excitement with His church, with us, is so profound. And I am most blessed and so awesomely privileged to give this sermon and share these words with all who can hear them. I had shivers go up and down my spine several times last night. Tears come to my eyes at different times with the emotion, the excitement, the awesome understanding of what God's giving to us and where we are. So this is the title of the sermon today. The 144,000 are sealed. That's incredible. The 144,000 are sealed. It's finished. That's profound to understand, brethren. And there'll be those out there who mock and make fun. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a little bit more of that over the next few weeks and months of things that they hear. They just can't deal with it. They can't understand it. So this day has been coming for a long time, brethren. Almost 6,000 years of God's most profound and intricate work of all eternity is finished in this day. When you look at the universe, when you see the awesomeness of God's creation, and you think of the time span of all the things that are out there, billions and billions of things we can't comprehend, years, light years, things that our minds can't deal with, but to realize what is completed on this day, the temple of God, the government of God, that's going to come with Jesus Christ when He returns. Those in the first resurrection, everyone today is finished. That is a part of that sealing. That is an awesome thing to experience. We're going to experience a lot more awesome things as we go forward. So I think about some of the process here yesterday. You know, I knew that when it came to this time, I would just be given what I was supposed to give today. I didn't fret about it. I didn't worry about it. I didn't have any idea what I was going to give exactly. I knew certain things like you did, 144,000, the 1,335 days, certain scriptures it applies to and so forth, what that means for the church, yes. But to understand some of the things revealed in Scripture, I didn't know. And like so many, and this is a good lesson for all of us, like so many yesterday when I began to go into the sermon, yesterday afternoon especially, I couldn't help but think about the different days, 1,335, 1,290, 1,260, you know, all the things that some of us now enjoy going into numbers and looking at different dates and so forth. Some don't like that at all. I am one of those that have a math background. I like math a lot in physics, and I enjoy that kind of thing. So I went in and thinking, maybe God's going to give something here, and it'll all fit together. I spent an hour and a half going through with my calculator and writing things out and dates and going through different things on the computer, and nothing fit. You know, it was an amazing process to go through, and finally, there's nothing there that fits except exactly what God gives. That fits. And so sometimes we want everything in a neat little package, like December, was it 17th, 1994? I miss the dates after every once in a while. But anyway, you know, we want to patch things in. And there have been things that have happened that are awesome. You know, 40 Sabbaths to the day. 1,260 days, and the next day was Pentecost, and what that meant for the church, and how God was working with the church, and how God began to work with us in a very powerful way. And there are some periods of time in there, 1,290, but it wasn't what the 1,290 was all about. But there have been a lot of things that God had worked with by patterns, and time and a half of times, 1,260 days with the church. But now we're entering in a period of time that is very unique to exactly what it talks about in Daniel. So I think it'd be good to go over there today and begin in Daniel chapter 12. And to recognize, oh, I was looking for water. And to recognize, my mouth is so dry. I knew I needed a drink. My body did, but my brain wasn't attached. And so there are some things, brethren, that we learn in situations like this to realize how God works with us and how God leads us, how He reveals things to us. And we look for certain things that sometimes they don't fit. We try to make them fit. We're led by God's Spirit. We're led by God. And God will give us what we need when we need it, especially in the things that are coming here, which we will talk about in the next few weeks. Daniel 12 and verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. So again, as I was thinking about this, I was looking, basically what I was looking for, some kind of proof of the dates and how it all fit together. Say, see, it's perfect how it fits. There is no proof like that. It is by revelation. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two other on the other side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? All that Daniel had gone through, the different things that Daniel had experienced, the different revelation that God had given to Daniel throughout the book of Daniel, and especially so many of them that lead up to this period of time, the end time. And so there were all these things that God had been revealing to him, but he wanted to know more. Just like we do. We want to know more. And God lets us know that in His time, in His way, He will give us more. And there are wars that are fought. There are things that take place of why God does things the way He does. And so He'll give us what we need when we need it. And so how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him that lives forever, to God Almighty, to Yahweh Elohim, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. We understand what that is, 3.5 years, 1,260 days, all the different ways it's spoken of in Scripture. That there's a period of time going to take place when everything will be completed. Everything that was written in the book of Daniel, all the great nations on the earth, all the great empires that would rise and fall before the great and powerful God would bring a kingdom to this earth, a single kingdom to reign over mankind at the end of all of man's kingdoms. You know, I picture some of those old things on the TV where that big cube was coming down and smashed the statue at the feet. You know, some of the things that were given to Daniel to see, to understand things prophetically that would happen in the future, but Daniel didn't understand it all. but he wanted to know more, like any of us, curious and desirous to know more. And so it's stated here, everything will take place quickly. 3.5 years. Thankfully, not 7 years, like so many believe when they think they're going to get raptured and have to wait 7 years before some matters are addressed in the world. Thankfully, it's only going to last for 3.5. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Amazing. Interesting words here. Awesome. Powerful. You know, there are things in the Scripture that are like, there are patterns, and there are some things that have a partial fulfillment to a particular time and a situation. I think of how often Joel, especially in Acts, Joel was quoted. And when it talks about certain things, what you see this day, Peter was explaining to them of what was taking place. And yet all of what Peter quoted there out of Joel wasn't for his day. It wasn't for then. There was just a little portion in there of the beginning of the pouring out of God's Spirit on mankind. Because the rest of the things that were mentioned in there were for a time into the future, our time. Amazing. But there's the little blurb that applied there. Peter quoted it and said, this is what you hear this day. It wasn't all of it, but a portion of it. And I think of things we've gone through. And what we've seen in the church and the scattering that's taken place and being able to understand and what God did when we fell asleep, when we became lethargic, when we were lukewarm. But these verses, and when he shall have accomplished, the word means completed, finished, just like it says here, accomplished, finished, completed, to break or disperse. Which is what to scatter means here. It means to break or to disperse the power, which means if you read it over and over again, it's used many times. It's by the hand, the ability, the power. Most often it's used in the connection of God's great power and by his right hand and by his might that he does various things. It's this kind of word that is used. But what is this about the holy people? When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. What is the context? Where is God's focus on all this, brethren? What is the context we're going through right now in Daniel chapter 12 as we go into the rest of the verses here? What is it that follows? What is the time period? It is very specific. It is very specific. It starts out talking about the 3.5 years. We know when that is. We know when the seventh seal is open. We know how long it is before Jesus Christ returns. 3.5 years. A time and a half a time. And there are things that lead up to that are crunched together here very powerfully so that God is revealing. And so when he's accomplished to do something, I think of what we go through in the church to become what we become and what this day pictures today, a sealing that has taken place, that's completed, that's finished, and what that means for the church of God and what it means for those who are still scattered out there who are in fellowship in the church of God. It's an incredible thing to understand. What is it that God's completing? You don't know everything is about the church. Everything he's been doing for 6,000 years is about his kingdom. The greatest focal point of everything has to do with his government, his kingdom that's coming to this earth. And it has been for 6,000 years. He's been working with people in every generation through time to mold and fashion, to bring to a point in time that when his son returns, there will be that government that is already established in a perfect order, in a building, in a construction of a temple, a spiritual temple, everyone fitting perfectly into their place. If you're in awe when you look at the universe and see things that are out there and you really delve into things of science and you see what's out there, the vastness of what God created, it's nothing compared to that temple, compared to what God has been doing for 6,000 years. Because he's had to work with it in a very powerful way. Because you know what we have done? We've resisted him. Our nature, our being, we resist God Almighty. And that's why I talked about at the feast, the greatest miracle of all that God has ever done is the changing of human life from the selfish way we are to becoming a part of the God family. Because we by nature resist him. He commanded those things in the universe to come into being and they didn't resist him. We do. So his work in molding and fashioning, I can't even begin to comprehend a temple like that. I can't. It's one way, another way we can. As we look at the universe, it's beyond our human understanding that everybody had a spot, had a position, has a place so that this government, this temple works together in harmony and unity in a very powerful and profound way into the future.
And everyone has been molded because of things they've experienced in their life, that God worked with them and worked in their lives to build things within them, things in their mind and their character, so they would fit into an exact position in that temple. All along the while, that nature resisting him. That's why it's such a profound miracle of what he's doing. And why this is such an incredible day in God's plan. So what is finished? What is finished today? What has been completed today? The temple. God's temple. So there are some sitting here today, and there are some listening in today, who are sealed. Regardless of what happens in the next 3.5 years, they're going to be in the first resurrection. I oftentimes use the example of the two witnesses to give an example of that, because God says exactly what they're going to begin doing. We also know that it says that they were sealed before the seventh seal was opened. And there are others alive in the church as well who have been sealed. But to understand they're going to live through those exact same two people to the end and certain things happening, so that we can grasp and comprehend that when someone is sealed, that God will take them through, that they've already been brought to a point in time where God knows them. As he said to Abraham, "Now I know you." Today God says that to all of us who are sealed. "I know you." Will we sin? Yes. But God knows what we'll do. God knows our response. He knows our attitude. He knows our being. He has molded certain things within us that regardless of where we die along the way or whether we're alive at Christ's return, we are sealed. We are in his family. We are in the temple of God. That is profound. That is incredible to understand. And so I think of the scriptures that talk about things in us that have to be broken and gotten rid of in our lives that resist God. That human nature that's inside of us. Because that's what this is talking about. Our hand, our power has no meaning in life. That which we used, have ever used in our lives to resist God, that's what has to be brought into subjection to God. And today, that's complete for the remainder of the people who are part of the 144,000. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter, to break the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. It's not a negative thing. It's a very positive thing. Because now we're fully at one in that respect with God, in spirit and mind. Still human, still with human nature, still having to fight human nature. But God knows us. And there's more said. Verse 8. "And I heard, but I didn't understand. And I said, 'Oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?' And he said, 'Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end.'" It wasn't meant to be revealed. It wasn't given to anyone to reveal until the end. And as God has always said, he will reveal it to his prophets when it's time. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried." Who? Who is it talking about? The context is still the 144,000. There is something that comes to a completion, a fulfillment that's accomplished in God's great plan. That when it's accomplished, then everything else will begin and follow rapidly behind it. And it all has great meaning. When you put it into things that God gave in Revelation, it has more profound meaning and power. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried." We're tried. Because we have to be broken in our own spirit. We have to come to a point where we're fully in unity and harmony and subjection to God's will and God's purpose in our life and in our minds, to where God knows us. "But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand," because God gives it to us, just like I said in the beginning, in his time, in his way. But God will lead us and give us understanding and give us insight to know where we are, when we're there, what we have to do, when we have to do it. It's a matter of reliance on God, living full unity and harmony with God. Verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." It's very awkward in English, from translation from Hebrew. So many things are in the Bible, especially prophetic things, because they didn't know what God's plan was. And a lot of words can have different meanings. A lot of words can have a broad usage. So you've got to know the context of what's being spoken of to translate properly. And so a lot of things really in the Bible, we learn as we go along. We come to greater understanding as God leads, guides, and directs us. And we come to grasp and understand things as He feeds us and leads us to know the full meaning of context of what things are in Scripture. And so this one here, it says, and from the time. It is very much about a sequence of time, but always remember what the context here, brethren, of everything we're going through here. It's about the very end. It's about what's going to take place in the final 3.5 years. It's what leads up to that. It's about this very close niche of time. That's why 1,335 and 1,290 and 1,260 days are spoken of here, because it's this real close niche of time that God has focused upon. Some of the most awesome things. Of all the things to end with in the book of Daniel, it's the only way it could be. It's that great object coming out and striking that statue at the feet and destroying it, destroying all the kingdoms of the earth and God's kingdom being established. This is about the establishment of God's government and God's kingdom on the earth, very powerfully so. It is not good to only see the word from here, this particular word from, unless you know the old Hebrew and the context of the message. And this is very often translated as since, or better for this verse, after. You know, how could they know? And from the time, if you know what it's talking about, it's easy. What an awesome thing. After the time. Since the time. And again, the time here is very clearly here, brethren, what we're going through right now, what we've entered into today. And again here, very specific. After the time, the daily sacrifice. That's what we're talking about here. What is a daily sacrifice? What was it in the temple was a daily sacrifice? What was it that was taking place? You know, it's amazing sometimes how you hit yourself in the forehead and say, why didn't I see that? Pentecost, Yahweh Elohim, the Almighty Eternal God, one Eternal Almighty God. And yet, unless it's God's time, we just can't see certain things. But it's so simple and so clear. So there was a process here within the temple that it's referring back to here of something that would take place on a regular basis, and it's talking about this coming to a stop, an end. Various things being accomplished, various things being fulfilled. There were sacrifices in the temple for sin, for transgression against God. But it never took away sin, as we understand, as we know. They went through a process, but this is given as a description in the Bible of something on a spiritual plane, not on a physical one. This is not about a physical temple. This is about God's church. So, what does take away sin? It's about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's about the purpose of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's about what we go through, have gone through day in and day out in our lives. That God live in us, that Jesus Christ would live and dwell within us. The blessing of being able to have that intercessor who intercedes to the Father for us, day after day after day, as God is working and molding and fashioning us to take away those things that resist Him, to bring us into harmony and unity with Him, to a point in time that God judges and deems and says, now I know you. I know you. You've grown to a point of spiritual growth and development where you are and have a spirit of being at one with God. Still in human life, still able to sin as a human being, but God knows you. And that same work that brought you to that point in time does not have to work in you in the same way any longer. That is an awesome thing to understand, because now you are sealed. So again here, things that are being talked about, brethren, have to do with Jesus Christ, and it has to do with 144,000 who are still alive. Because it has to do with the end time and something that's happening to the church right now. So going on here, it says, again, just understand, it's about the sacrifice of Christ in order to accomplish God's continuing work in us, because that's what God has been doing for 6,000 years, getting this body ready, getting the kingdom ready, preparing and molding and fashioning a great temple that Daniel had already described in Scripture that was going to destroy all the kingdoms of this earth so that God's kingdom could be established. It is all about God's kingdom. It is all about the 144,000. It is about this day, brethren, that is so awesome in heaven today. You and I cannot grasp and comprehend the glory and the majesty and the rejoicing of the angelic realm today. the more we understand this sermon, the more we will understand that, truly. And the uniqueness. So again, when is this? When is all this? After the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. This is pretty good if you know where it's what's being said here. What is it? Again, what's being taken away? This is a word that also can be translated as put away or withdrawn. In other words, there comes a point in time where it's not used in the same way anymore. It's withdrawn. It's put away. The same work does not continue on. Something has changed. Something is different. What is it? What's different in us? How is it that people can be alive? You understand that when God worked with Abraham and God said, I know you, Abraham lived a lot longer. As far as God was concerned, he was a part of the 144,000 from that moment in time. That's the announcement that was made. That's what that means. And what God had to do with Abraham from that point in time changed as to what he was doing up to that time to prepare him, to bring him into harmony and oneness, where God could mold and fashion him in different ways from that point on, where there would not be the resistance in any fashion or form as far as his human spirit. He was fully pliable. Still had human nature, but he was different. And so it is, brethren, with people when they come to that point in time. It's why God knows who you are and what you are and what you'll do under every circumstance in life. And the uniqueness of this rarely used part of speech, this one that has to do with lay away, put away, withdraw, taken away. I'll tell you, brethren, I wish I could give to you what I experienced last night when I was going through some of this. And the more you go into some of this and see it yourself, the more exciting it becomes. It is a part of speech in Hebrew that's rarely used. And in this particular case here, it conveys an active and a passive sense. An active and a passive sense, having to do with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the use of that in the temple of God. Do you understand that for the 144,000, that has changed starting today? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Because something has changed within all of us who are part of that government. We are there. As far as God is concerned, we're in the resurrection when Jesus Christ returns. We're in that resurrection with all those who are resurrected at that time and brought together as a part of the God family when Jesus Christ returns. So it's used in an active and a passive sense. It is not shall be taken away when you put all the words together. And as it might be used in Old English in the past, it would have been conveyed. You know, you look at language, and I think of some of the words in the King James Version. When you look at the tenses, some of the words back then would have to be translated to be used differently today. If you read the New King James, they use it properly. But back then, the speech was different. And the bad thing about that is today, if you're using an old King James, you're reading in the sense of what you know today, what certain words will be, like shall be, had a different meaning in old King James time than it does today. And the use of all the grammar that's been written, that which I was very poor in, still am. Thankfully, God's revealed these things and has in so many other things concerning Passover and Pentecost and so forth. But anyway, it should read, after the daily sacrifice is taken away. Active and passive. So, again, when can such a thing be? Awesome, awesome, brethren, to understand that there is a process we all go through when God calls us. All the rest of you are still going through a process that God is working in your life, every day of your life. It has nothing to do with the fact that you still have human nature when you're a part of the 144,000 and you've been sealed, or that you were Abraham at the time God says, now I know you. There's something different that happens. There's something very unique in how God judges and works with us. And the same work that he was doing before does change. It changes mightily. So reading it all together, after the daily sacrifice is taken away, and we'll come back to this and put it all together. After the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up. So again here, it's very specific about certain things that have taken place in the church. And there's that which we go through, brethren, where it says here it's about the abomination of desolation that's been working in the church when the first seal was opened. We understand when that was. We recognize there's a point in time here that God talks about, refers back to the book of Daniel and talks about an abomination of desolation. We all understand what that was. We all understand what that day was and what happened to the church of God. And how we were all spewed out of God's church. and it shook the tar out of us. We realized how close we came to losing the Sabbath and the holy days. We started repenting right quick, like a lot of us, because of what had happened. And so it is again, not about a physical temple. It's about a spiritual one that God was working with up to the end time. This is kind of hard here. I wish I had all these written out for you. But again, and the abomination that makes desolate. So the abomination and the desolation, we understand fully what it was. There's been an ongoing desolation of the temple of God ever since that time. That's why when you go back to the first seal and you see what began to happen with the church of God, it began in December 17th, 1994. And it didn't stop. It wasn't a one-day event. We see what happened when the second seal was opened and the third seal. And then what happened later on, several years later, when the fourth seal was opened. The same thing started through everything that had come out of it all, that hadn't been scattered or that hadn't gone back to Protestantism. That one-third that was out there, that same power started working again. And all the scattered groups that were out there, exactly what took place in the first three seals. The destruction of that same spirit. I was having a conversation with someone before services here about a certain period of time when I had resigned from a particular group. And I think back about those times, the things we've experienced and things we've gone through. Because what was becoming evident at that time was that everything that was in a structure of something that had happened before that led us to our destruction in the first place was being lifted back up again. Some of the same individuals were starting to do some of the same things again as far as politics and ideas and teachings. An abomination of desolation that was coming back into and working within the church. We've gone through a lot in God's church to get us where we are today. We truly have. And we're still going through it. Thankfully, so much of that is behind us because it hasn't been an easy battle getting to where we are. And so there's that which has been making desolate, just to make a long story short here, because the words here that makes in Hebrew is something called, again, I'm only going to bring this out for some people who might think when it comes to grammar. I'm not, but I'll give you what it says. It's QAL, I'm sure how you pronounce it, but it's call or qual, participle active, and is a verbal adjective in the active voice, indicating continued simple action. You remember when we got into things of John, in the book of John, and where it talks about Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, or Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and people haven't understood what that was talking about. They thought it was talking about something physical. And because of understanding some of the Greek words, we came to more fully understand it was talking about something that's ongoing, that's present, progressive, something that's happening now and continues on. In other words, He is coming, and it means that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. He's living and dwelling within us. And it's a continuing thing, a continuing action. This word is a little bit like that. It's something that's continuing. And so just like that word there that's used in 1 John, in the book of John 14, where it talks about Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, or has come. It's an ongoing process of Him living in His life within us, dwelling within us. And this word is similar. As it says here, in the active voice indicating continued simple action. So this is something that has continued as an ongoing thing since it began and has not changed. And that's what it's making very clear in how the word is used. It has been an abomination that is making desolate. Look at what happened to the church. And it didn't stop after the first third went back to Protestantism. And after the next third was just scattered and people didn't know what to do. They were so disillusioned. And another third that just tried to hang on in different organizations in different places and tried to hold on to the Sabbath and the holy days and didn't know what to do or how to do it. And then finally it began to be destroyed, an abomination that continued to work within them. And it hasn't stopped to this day. That spirit is still working out there. But thank God He's bringing it to an end, because there are certain things He's going to restrict Satan in a very short time. Awesome to understand. And His focus is going to be on someone else, somewhere else, thankfully, in one respect, but woe to the world because of it. The one who visits New York in April, that may be more profound than what you can begin to grasp and comprehend, because it's at that period of time that a great being begins to have power in and through him. You may not even recognize certain things happening in the world when the seventh seal is opened. So again, this is something that's continued. It's an ongoing process, an abomination that is making desolate. Then going on, set up. What is that talking about? The word set up also means here finished, completed. Something is finished, it's completed. Its purpose has come to an end. Its process will no longer continue on. Satan will no longer be doing what he's been allowed to do because he's the one that's been behind it all, working in it all this time. And so what's been said in this verse? This is how it reads. After the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, put away, its purpose accomplished in the 144,000, to make it succinct, and the abomination that is making desolate, because it's about the completion of 144,000 of God's work and Jesus Christ's work and intercession for us over the length of our lives that we've been alive in God's church as He's worked to mold and fashion us to bring us to where we are, to where God will say and does say now, you are in a specific place in the temple. That work is complete. Does that mean we don't have to be forgiven of sin anymore? No. But the work is complete. God's work and Jesus Christ's work of the purpose of the temple, of the sacrificing that took place so we could fit into our places. That is complete. And that's what's done on this day that I am so thankful for all of those of you who were part. And the rest, you have to continue living as you've always lived and never cease living that way, because we continue living the same way. We don't change. That means you repent immediately when there's sin. You fight, you resist, but certain minds, brethren, right now are set in a unique relationship in spirit with God, something that we cannot fully grasp nor comprehend, but just accept and be thankful for. After the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, put away, its job is finished, it's completed as well, it's done its work, Jesus Christ has done His work, God the Father has done His work, because different ones are in the temple exactly where they're supposed to be, and their jobs for the next 3.5 years are already mapped out. You think God has that kind of power and might to know exactly what you're determined to do, what He's molded and fashioned you for? Some of you that have no comprehension of what's in front of you over the next 3.5 years, that's going to be exciting and inspiring, because you're going to see people coming along into God's church, minds being opened up that's going to blow your mind, that you get to witness it. What I'm seeing right now is blowing my mind. I was thinking here last night, I saw some of the stats, I meant to mention part of that. You know, on the website, all the people coming into the website right now jumped from 200 and something thousand now to 400 and some thousand in the month of January. But I think about, I told Laura, I said, the Netherlands and Belgium, they don't know what's coming their way, because there were over 5,000 PDFs downloaded in the Dutch language last month. That may not be a lot to you, but I know what that means. It means there's a lot of people out there that can begin responding, that God's starting to draw. And the jump from what it was before is awesome. And it means in about a month from now, they're going to have a lot more work they're going to be doing. There's a cycle, there's a process, there's a pattern that God follows. That's why, because I've been so blessed to see it through, see an overview of the whole thing, that I am so immensely, awesomely, words cannot explain how excited inside I am about what's coming, and by why I know where I am, that I have to be at a certain place in a certain time and certain things taking place here, and have to be free to certain things and others taking up that work and doing it. God's making it very clear. We're getting ready to be thrust into things, brethren, we don't grasp yet. It is awesome. It's powerful. And after the daily sacrifice has been taken away, put away, it's completed, its job has done what it was supposed to, and the abomination that is making desolate is completed, literally that's what that word means, is finished, there shall be 1,290 days. So we know. And what is it talking about? When is that time period? It's all leading up to the same time that Daniel asked about. When it's all finished, it'll be done. In a time and a half a time. But there are two things that happen first, 1290 and 1335. Awesome. And so God is telling us. And we're here today picturing the part of the 1335, but the 1290 means that in 45 days, something changes in the church that's scattered. And a remnant's going to begin to be drawn to the church, brethren. See, I, a long time ago, in my own lack of knowledge of certain things here, and a desire to see others share with us, my desire has been for that other part of that remnant, speaking of those who are part of the church up to 1994, baptized members. When we speak of the remnant, I'm not talking about new people who have come along since then. We're all a part of the Church of God if we're in the Church of God, if we're in the body of Christ. I'm talking about very specific people who walked to God's house side by side in council blended sweet through the feast of 1994 and the scattering that took place after that. Because you see, so much of prophecy is still about them and about us and about the church all the way to the end, because that's where God's primary focus has been on His people for 6,000 years. So something's going to change. The main thing that's going to change is what Satan is allowed to do and is not going to be allowed to do anymore. I'm so thankful for that. But as I was saying, I've kind of wanted those others to be able to come along and share with us. But it wasn't meant to be, because they have another thing to witness, to be part of. Going back here to Daniel 12 again, blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, for you shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of the days. So it brings us full circle. You know, Daniel has a great desire, like we all do, of wanting to know. I got out my calculator because I wanted to know. Thought I could figure it out. And surely today something's going to fit into place here and be such a marvel that we can prove and see and know. And know it's still how God leads us by the power of His Spirit through what He reveals to us when He wants to reveal it to us. Awesome. And so here Daniel is brought full circle and said, Daniel, go your way, because you'll be there. This is when you'll be there. For go your way till the end, and you shall rest, and you will stand in your lot, just like a lot of us are going to. We're going to stand in that same lot of 144,000 people that God revealed later on in Scripture and time, made up those that are sealed, of those He's talking about here in the book of Daniel, at the end of the days, at the end of the 3.5 years, at the end of the time and a half of time, Daniel will be there, I will be there, many of you will be there, Jesus Christ will be there, we'll be in God's kingdom, and we're going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years and more. What an awesome thing to understand. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 7. And why are we so blessed when we come to the 1,335th day? It goes without saying, doesn't it? We'll be there with Daniel. How blessed can you be to have finally gone through it all in this human life and to finally be in God's kingdom, in God's family? Words don't quite capture it all, do they? Revelation chapter 7. Well, just so we understand here a flow of some of the things, in chapter 6, talks about the first seal that was opened up. I've already mentioned some of those today. And that's, isn't that an amazing thing to understand, that so much of the world today, even we didn't understand. I think of the four horses we saw, the massive destruction. We didn't understand that which we had on the telecast was about the church, not about the end time for the world and the destruction that was going to be upon the world. We thought that it was because God didn't let us see more at that time. Those four horses had nothing to do with destruction on the earth. They had everything to do with destruction in the church, the abomination of desolation, and what we've experienced, what we've gone through, what we have witnessed. I wouldn't want to have lived in any other time. 6,000 years. I keep wanting to reach for a glass of water. 6,000 years of time, and to realize what we have been through, what we've seen, to make us what we are. Awesome to live this. And so we come down through a period of time here, the fifth seal. We know we're in the sixth seal now, waiting for the seventh to be open. And we come to this part here then, chapter 7, where it interjects this knowledge, understanding, information about what we're talking about today. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. How great is that? Got to pull myself together. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. You can read the rest. Oh, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. There's a lot that goes on being sealed when God says, I know you. When God says that which has been working within you to bring you to where you are, it's finished. The sacrificing that was taking place before is not working in the same way any longer. You're there. And there's some of you probably in torment and anguish about your life and things you've experienced in your life because you've gone through this battle and you wonder, will I be there? Well, I guess because of certain jobs and things, I have an advantage that I'm blessed with, and which gives me a confidence that I have to have because of a job. But yeah, we have to understand, brethren, to be blessed to live on into the millennial period, how awesome is that? If we continue on, regardless if we're part of the 144,000 or live on, God has a place for us in His family that will be fulfilling and rich and exciting and inspiring, that we're being specifically molded and fashioned for. Everything that happens, everyone who is called, it is not by accident. It is not by fluke. It is not by some response of ours that all of a sudden that we just decided to respond. God is involved in it. Not a one of us would be here if God didn't put us here. If God didn't drag us here, in many cases, to where we are today. If you have been blessed to see what you see, how blessed are you? Hurt not the earth, and the sea, nor the trees, till you have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, over 6,000 years of work, and just a few here at the end to finish the sealing. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And so I have people write me and email and talk about, basically we're very prejudiced and biased, and 144,000, I suppose you're going to tell me you have to be of Judah or one of the other tribes, and they don't get it. I wish they'd just read the book. Anyway, we are so physical, so carnal, just like those four horses. What could we see otherwise at that moment in time? We knew certain things had to happen on the earth, but we couldn't put it together. God wasn't letting us because it wasn't time. And just like this, some of us had struggles when it came to a point of time of realizing even the great multitude, they're the 144,000. But we had thought differently before because we couldn't understand. We thought the church was so large that surely all them would be the 144,000. And we didn't even think about the last 6,000 years, and all those going to be resurrected. And I don't want to go through all that history. You can read it in the books. Many of you read it many times. But isn't it amazing? Sometimes we're so physical, we don't understand all these tribes. They're spiritual. The gates of the temple, it's all spiritual. They have meaning for what God is doing in the temple. The 12 disciples, their names that are going to be a part and used. It has nothing to do with the physical lineage. It has to do with something that is spiritual, that we're all brought into. What an incredible thing. And so that's what this period of time is about, that we're reading about, the 144,000, a sealing that's taken place. I'm going to continue on with the sermon. I may give it a different title next week, but we're going to continue on the subject when we go into it next week as well, because there's more to cover in the book of Revelation here. We may go at it in a different route with a different title. But what else could be said about today, to be more excited about today, to realize, and we can't, to realize what's taking place in heaven today, to realize the celebration, the joy, the excitement in the angelic realm, the excitement of God Almighty after working to do His greatest work ever, the most profound thing over 6,000 years, and to be able to say, it is finished. Have you ever had the experience of building something and then standing back and looking at it? I mean, we do it in a pretty small scale. I remember when I used to work my way through college, when I'm a bachelor, I'd come back to Kansas and I'd go to hailstorm areas and get about five or six fellows to come with me to go out, and we'd go house to house where hailstorms have been, and we'd go put shingles on the roof. And I'd stand back when the job was done. Can you imagine standing back and being excited about seeing a roof on a house? And to see the lines were straight? For me and my background, that meant a lot. Anyway, you know, when you build something, have a house built or whatever, and when it's all done, or yard work, and you put a lot of work into it, and you stand back, and for God Almighty to look back now over 6,000 years to see all these built and a temple that he's ready to bring to this earth now, we can't understand that kind of excitement, that kind of power. Awesome. Truly can't be described in words, can it? So what does all this mean for the church? For this is fully about the church, especially the church that was scattered again at the beginning of the abomination of desolation when the first seal was opened, the first seal of Revelation. So again, today, the sealing of all that are part of the 144,000 is complete and no one else is to be added to it. It's not God's purpose. The rest that will be in the temple is for another time, is for another period. And it really has been a great way to do with what happened in the last 100 years. There are so many exciting things ahead in God's plan. All that are being prepared to be a part of God's kingdom, to serve and help out in that massive resurrection. Think of people you know who never knew the truth. Think of all the funerals you've attended. And to think that one day you're going to be there, a spirit being, to be able to help people in a massive way all over this earth to deal with, they're going to be billions resurrected. Sometimes people wonder, how are we going to handle it all? God has it all planned out, just like the 144,000 are getting ready to rule the earth right now. And there would be millions in the God family by the time that last great resurrection takes place. Incredible. So for the church, this day also means something else that's going to be difficult for some. All new people who are added to the remnant, speaking of any who are awakened spiritually that were baptized before things happened in December of 1994, because they're the ones spoken of when it talks about a remnant. All of us are in the church of God that are here that are baptized, but not all are a part of the remnant. The remnant is a very specific thing in Scripture that's speaking of those who are part of the body of Christ, the church of God, before these things began to happen. And there are more to be added to the remnant. We've understood that we're like a tithe of the tithe as far as a number is concerned. We're similar to a tithe in the tithe in the sense that we're only 10% of the whole remnant. So where is the rest? God's getting ready to bring them on. But they will not be a part of the 144,000. So this sermon is going to be a tough sermon for some of them as they come along later on. And then again, it won't be a tough sermon, because how blessed are they? Because what about another two-thirds? Or what about the other 90% of a third? All those vast thousands and thousands of people who used to walk to God's house side by side in council blended suite that aren't going to be allowed to live into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ as physical human beings on this earth. They have to wait. And they will not be awakened spiritually until the day that they're resurrected back into a physical body, into a second physical life, along with all the rest of those who have lived and died over the past 6,000 years when that great resurrection takes place. So how blessed are individuals that are able to be awakened and live on into a new age? Does God have the power to do it exactly to the exact number? Better believe it. Just as he did when he brought a lot of people 40 years in the wilderness, and many died, and a few, past a certain age, were brought in, and the vast, overwhelming majority did not come in. God has that power, as he told them. And we, on a spiritual plane, are very much like that in what we're going through. And so God has a purpose for those that are to be a part of that government that's coming, and God has a purpose as a great witness. Brethren, I cannot convey the importance in words to you that I have tried to convey in times past that is becoming more profound, more meaningful as we go along, of how important this age is to the millennial period, of how important the lessons at the end of 6,000 years is of what happened in the church. That lesson is so powerful to be taught of what we have experienced, and that what so many of you get a chance and an opportunity to help teach over and over again in a millennial period. Just because you have God's Spirit dwelling in you, and just because God Almighty has sent His Son to reign on the earth, and you can see them, those 144,000, and you can visit with them at different times, you can fall asleep, and you can become lethargic. Don't let it happen to you. You know what the answer is? You know what the message is? Same as it is throughout Scripture, especially in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. Be alert. Be on guard spiritually. Even during the millennium, do we grasp that? Even more so at that time, spiritually, people are going to have to be on guard and alert spiritually. Because the tendency is to become complacent in a world where there's only one church, one government, and everything is so good. Because we as a church, everything was good. We had been given so much. And look what we did. That is the most important lesson to be taught in the next 1,100 years. It is the single most important lesson. If you want to look at a lesson of human life and learn a lesson from it, this one, what we have lived through, is one that's going to be taught over and over and over again. Mr. Armstrong, when he speaks, will be able to add to what he said in the past, because he couldn't teach this part about government because it hadn't happened yet. And he'll be, well, anyway. It's exciting to think about different ones that are going to be resurrected, things they're going to be able to see going way back. Anyway. So this is a sobering thing, too, to understand for others. But that's a part of repentance. And it's a part of understanding and learning that nothing is owed to any of us in life. But we are awesomely blessed to have physical life alone, and look how we've used it, let alone the potential for having eternal life in the God family. Life is so awesomely precious if we live it right. It isn't so precious if it isn't lived right. I think of different places in the world that are suffering so much. Sometimes email I get from people that don't understand what God is doing, and they're upset because we're not in certain parts of the world. They get very upset. Outright reject anything that might be true. And I understand why. So all these people that are going to be added to us, a lot of you are going to have opportunity to meet with them. That's why I've been saying there are a lot of elders coming. Not everyone that comes along is to be ordained. People have different jobs and different responsibilities, but I'm just telling you that from us, from our small group, we're small. But there are a lot of people coming along that are going to be so deeply converted, just as it happens to us when we're awakened, so deeply thankful that God has awakened us when our eyes are open, when we were asleep spiritually, when we became lukewarm, and very on fire, because they're going to know where they are in time, depending on what stage that is. Maybe it's June, or July, or August for some. And what will have happened by that time to humble them mightily? But God's making it very clear that there's a being that's not going to have power to continue to distort and twist and hurt as He is now. Things are going to change. And the power of God's Spirit's going to begin going out there. But you know what's going to become the battle then? Pride. When you have a free choice and there are things you see, but you reject. I understand that too, but it's going to be a very powerful thing. To humble oneself, to say, oh, God is not going to work that way. God doesn't work that way. It's got to be someone from here or someone over here. And it's going to be people who truly will be humbled are the ones that God's going to draw through it all. Amazing what has to take place. And just to make it real clear, there are some in the remnant to fulfill and to complete the entire amount are not going to repent till the very end. Maybe the day the two people lie dead in the streets of Jerusalem, there'll still be a person who says, God in heaven, forgive me. You're right. and I have been so wrong to fight and resist you. I believe those words will come to pass. So, brethren, what an awesome thing to understand. The remaining remnant is about to begin to be called. We have about 45 days before that process can begin. Will some others come along a little bit here and there as we go along from the past? Yes, but of a different condition very soon now. Mid-March. What an awesome thing. Truly going to thank God a lot on that day when the abomination of desolation stops. When Satan is stopped. Because that being is going to have his focus elsewhere in April. So blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. And I think of how this word is used about happiness of a person, the fullness of mind and spirit that's filled with great excitement and gratitude, because those all go together. Gratitude has to be there as well. Plus excitement of what God is giving and what He gives when you know you are blessed, to know where you stand. And what an awesome day this is to understand the blessings that have been poured out upon God's people. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 20. This day has been a day of fasting, dedicated to God in our individual desire to be at one with Him. Whether we're part of the ceiling or not, the desire is the same. We are God's church. We are God's people. And that struggle continues on, a desire to be at one with God. I'm not going to coast. No one who's sealed is going to coast. We're going to grow. We're going to grow much more. We're going to yield ourselves more and more to God. He's going to work with us more and more. It doesn't stop. And why is that the way it is? Because God knows that's the way we are. We'll respond to Him. The growth continues. It doesn't stop. Amazing. It's not a matter of coasting or having it made. There's no such thing. In the sense of our response and our attitude. That's the whole thing about it. It's because God knows our attitude of what we're like, of what we're going to do. We're going to fight. We're going to work. We're going to throw ourselves more into God's work than ever before. And that's the way it should be with every person who is called to be a part of God's church, especially because you know how blessed you are to have what you have. How many individuals before services I talked to? New people. Some of the 11 to be baptized when this day is complete. Incredible. Small as we are, and yet that's peanuts, but I'm excited. I'm excited for everyone that comes along. The joy and the fullness, the attitude of mind you have when you know how blessed you are. Laura and I talk about this often, and the experience that different elders will have and different people have when they baptize people. And you see their eyes. I think of different people I baptized recently, and I think of their eyes and that humble attitude and looking up as a child. There's something about the eyes that goes beyond words, and it melts your heart because you see an attitude and a spirit that's there. And it is that spirit of thankfulness, of gratitude, of being blessed and knowing the blessing that's there, especially because of when people come to a point today when they realize very quickly here, I get a charge out of this because it's happening so many so fast anymore, but it's something we all have to go through and learn that when you begin to realize you can't just go out and give this to someone else, you want everybody to have the same excitement you have, and you want to share it with them, and you give them the book, and they're no longer your friend. I mean, I guess there's a bit of humor in that, but it's hard when you go through that in the beginning. Because you want everybody, why can't people see the excitement I have? And you want to give it to them, but you can't because only God can. God has to work with them and open up the mind. You can't give it to anyone. Only God can. But you do your effort and you do your work in the hope that they'll be one of those at some point. And a lot of us, because of where we are and because of how God uses us, that's exactly what's going to happen. Some of you have given people... I'm amazed at the number of people responding to me here in recent time that let me know quite candidly what they thought of me in the beginning. And it wasn't nice. But something happened along the way. It's called repentance. It's called your eyes being open and being able to see. Ah, this is true. No explanation. It's just all of a sudden the mind is opened up and a person knows. I've had so many emails of people that try to explain that to me. You know, they even know what it is already. But it's like they can't find the exact words to describe it, but it's there. Yeah, we all experienced it. We all know exactly what you're talking about. You just know. And you can't give that to anyone. And that's a bit of a frustrating thing sometimes. So to know how blessed you are, oh, we all experience it at different times in God's church. But it's something we always need to keep close at heart and close at mind to understand what God has given to us to share in and what's getting ready to take place, and we all have a part in it. God's called every individual, just like in the 144,000, to fit in the temple. He's called every one of us to be able to serve right now in different regions and different areas for a purpose of things that are coming that are going to be dumbfounding to you. Because you see what a lot of you that are new, even new, have experienced? In many cases, you haven't been warmly received. In some cases, you've been surprised by those you have been received by. As we go forward, that's going to change more and more and more. Because more and more people's minds will be opened up and they're going to be drawn to you out of kindness, out of admiration, out of a desire for you to share everything you know with them. Revelation chapter 20. Incredible verses that talk about incredible things. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. It is an awesome thing. So incredibly awesome. A lot of people, when they first come along, they talk about they're not sure if they're going to be a part of 144,000 or not. I guess it's because it's just a thing that is a natural thing within a person's mind to think that those are the ones being saved. God is going to save everyone that will respond to him. It's just in time and in his plan. All those that come through the tribulation, all those that are born into a new world, all those that are resurrected later on are going to have those opportunities at different stages at different times. But everyone awesomely, immensely blessed to see what they see, to know what they know, because the end result is the same for all of us. God's family. The kingdom of God. Because it isn't in the place of Jesus Christ, because it isn't one of the 12 disciples, is that any less? To have not been a prophet of old? Is that any less? Sometimes how we think as human beings is not real healthy. It's like the two that begin to argue. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? Yeah. They all got, you know, think, why? But they had much to learn, didn't they? We have to understand how blessed we are to have opportunity to be in God's family, period. But here it begins. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Such a second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so for all of you, what an awesome thing. Revelation backing up here, chapter 19, verse 7. Putting it in context then, in proper perspective. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife has made herself ready. Again, 144,000. But it doesn't stop here. Everyone who's ever called. Everyone who has a part. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. When we understand it in spirit and in truth, everyone is called to that through time. To be a part of the kingdom of God. To be a part of the God family. And you are awesomely blessed if you can begin to fight against this human nature, to conquer and begin overcoming your human self and this world, and to become more like God. That's why the tool of fasting is so important from time to time in your life. The time of humbling yourself before God and crying out to God and telling him what this day pictures is fulfillment of for a large portion of people. Father, help me to be at one with you so that you will look upon me and say, I know you. What could be more awesome, brethren? What could be more exciting? God saying things like that to us. I know you. Meaning that you have come into being at one with him, that you're moldable and pliable and always will be.